like an evangelist in church. Like, have you heard the good news about our mother, Grace Jones? You can't blame, I guess, the young kids today to know, so.
I can. And there was some cross-promotion on a certain app. Let's insert the notification app.
Yes.
No. I'll rather than
niche artifact, fly swatters, coming soon.
Yeah. We'll edit around that.
Hello everyone, welcome to the first ever Niche Artifact podcast. My name is Robin De Silva and I am the director and creator of Niche Artifact. And with me there is the wonderful...
Ro, hi, welcome everybody. I am one of the trustees for the community group and I am also one of the performers for the Niche Artifact shows.
Hell yes, you are.
Fabulous. So welcome to, again, the first episode of our podcast. We've been working on this for quite a while.
Yeah.
Very excited that it is happening now. I think for our first episode, I think the most important thing is for anybody that is new to Niche Artifact, for everybody that's not, that hasn't been with us from the beginning, if we can talk a little bit about the history, a little bit about both of our journeys through Niche.
Yeah, definitely.
From where it started to where it's now, which is miles away.
Yeah, it's definitely grown a lot. And I can't believe we're coming up to our 1 year anniversary, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
When I started this, I never imagined it getting to that kind of point. So I'm incredibly proud. So.
Well, I mean, without giving anything away, am I correct in saying that you thought this was going to be quite the solo operation when you started it?
Definitely, yeah.
And now it's turned into a community group, which is amazing.
Yeah, I never thought we would actually reach the point of being a real community with a real beating heart. And we have so many people championing us now with, like, the library, and it's just really great.
The Spencer Trust.
Yeah, the Spencer Trust. Yeah. The support has been amazing, and seeing everyone slowly but surely recognizing all the things that we've been doing is great.
Fabulous. So tell me, what is Niche Artifact?
Right, no more fluffing. Niche Artifact is a community-based group. So we champion local artists from stage to poetry to painting, so every media form. And we just basically want to provide a platform and like a support network for everybody that is into those creative industries. And, you know, it'll be evolving into our networking event as well, which is the Jamboree, which we'll talk about at some point. It's just creating a safe space for people to express themselves, to grow, to learn, and to shine, more importantly.
Fabulous. Okay, so why Niche Artifact? Where does the name come from?
Okay, so Niche Artifact was basically... niche means like something that's quite non-mainstream and not commercial. And artifact comes from the aspect of like archaeology, like discovering something. So that's the origin of the name. So I wanted to delve into subjects that weren't like mainstream and what's being spoke about in the news today sort of thing, like really delving into some interesting cool little things like we have done in the past.
Fabulous. Okay, so we know what Niche is, we know how it started roughly a year ago.
Yeah.
Great.
It was mid-September, I think 25th of September, and that was the first one that we ever did.
Great, which was at the bar that you used to manage.
Yeah, I used to run a bar in Hockley, and started off just trying to engage the community. And if anything, it was all the people that just came to the bar and I just naturally just started talking to them. And I just found out, actually, there's a lot of creatives around here. And I just thought, well, why not? Let's do something about that.
Mm.
And, you know, it's also part of myself as well that I've created something that I would have wanted to attend to. Or, you know, there's nowhere where you can feel the community with art aspects as well, and just like, I don't know, I just feel like it's quite, I never realized how unique it was until people started responding to it. So,
well, I think that is probably the biggest sign that you've achieved something, when you can say this is something that I would have wanted to go to, let alone that you're the one creating it. So that's amazing. So, okay, so without giving the theme away of the first one, how was the first Niche? How did that come to be?
So the first Niche was lots of stressing, lots of running around. It was, like you said, I was very much a one-man band.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, like it was, I went to the printers, I got loads of prints done for the subject. Are we allowed to talk about the subject?
In a minute,
okay. Yeah, so yeah, basically contacted the artists, and I think I only started with four artists, which was the first exhibit. And then a lot of it was supplemented with displays and stuff like that, which also moved into some of the other ones.
So obviously, resident drag queen Priscilla Shana Krakow has been with Niche from its inception.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you walk me a little bit through the first Niche, like from you open the doors? How
yeah, that so it was very much, we transformed the space completely. So we ripped everything off the walls. We moved all the tables around. The idea was to have it as like a pop-up art exhibit or art gallery. That was kind of the refined kind of feel that we were going for.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, our resident drag queen, Priscilla Shana Krakow, she was one of the first artists to support and kind of believe in what I was trying to build. So no, we're very grateful. Priscilla's been there from the beginning and she's been a showstopper ever since.
She has been. She has grown so much as well. Well, now we can talk about what the first Niche artifact was, which was...
So the first Niche artifact was the Grace Jones exhibit. That was the name of the first one. So I chose Grace Jones as the first subject for it because I felt like it was Grace Jones kind of in... just the imagery and the iconography of Grace Jones was just very exciting and amazing in a period of time. She has such a fascinating story. So I felt like people needed to know about her. That's how that kind of started. I felt like an evangelist in church. Like, have you heard about our mother? Heard the good news about our mother, Grace Jones. So, it started off as, I guess, kind of like a bit disciplinary. I wanted people to know that she was an important moment in history, and that's kind of what Niche was all about to start with, was to put a light on something that's not really commercial. People don't really know that much about.
Yeah.
I want people to go away and learn something as well as experiencing something.
Okay. So I think that's a fantastic muse and subject.
Yes, muse for the first is definitely
one.
The word.
Yeah, because I think whilst she is incredibly famous in her own right, like you say, I don't think a lot of people are Grace Jones fanatics.
No, well, and they should be. It was a long time ago. So, I mean, she was in the 70s when she was active, so... You can't blame, I guess, the young kids today to know, so...
I can. Okay, so walk me through the night. So I bought it. I didn't go, but let's pretend in an alternate universe, I went to the first ever Niche artifact.
You looked at the sign, you were like, that looks great, I should go to that.
Yeah, my partner and I were walking through Hockley, and we saw the giant A-frame that you are now famous for.
Yeah, A1 or go home.
Yeah, and we just were walking past it, and I was like, ooh, Grace Jones exhibit, what is that? And then I think you were also on an app. I won't say which app, but there was some...
Yeah, you got to advertise where you can.
Yeah, there was some cross-promotion on a certain app. Let's insert the notification app.
Yes.
So again, not a bad thing. Promote yourself where you can.
Yeah, 100%.
So then let's pretend I have a ticket,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going on the 25th of September, 2023, to the Grace Jones exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So I open the door.
Yeah. So you open the door, and the first thing that was there was the a giant life-size Grace Jones cutout. So Auntie Grace was there ready to check your ticket. So that then led to like a velvet rope area where we had the four original pieces of artwork scattered about,
mm-hmm.
and they were covered in red velvet. So part of the magic for Niche Artifact, I think, is the anticipation and like waiting to see the art unveiling. So that's been quite a successful and quite a big feedback point for everybody.
Well, it's something that's happened ever since. It's happened on every Niche Artifact.
Yeah. So you'd have a glass of Prosecco as you come in. With the Grace Jones one, we had a video installation with that as well.
Wow.
So I actually edited like a 2-hour, like essentially homemade Grace Jones documentary with like rare performances that you've never seen before. It's very unfortunate, but I think like throughout moving, I've lost it, but I can always make it again.
You can.
Yeah.
Knowing Robin, he can make it again.
I like to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the video installation was playing with like live interviews, intercut with live performances. And then you had probably around nearly 50 digitally restored prints that I created myself of like her most iconic looks. I mean, she's worked with Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
She's been a muse to many people. She was at Studio 54.
Mm.
And it created quite a little buzz in quite a small way. Like it was the first one. I keep saying that, the Grace Jones was such an amazing jump off point as a subject. That, I'd love to revisit it with the amount of love and the amount of support that Niche has now. Because at the time, it was like, get people to care about this and,
Hopefully she'll come back.
Yeah, definitely. And also then, obviously, Priscilla performed for the Grace Jones exhibit. And yeah, it was just, and then people could buy prints if they wanted to. So they're all one of a kind prints that I digitally restored and printed. Spent a lot of money getting all that up, but it was a beautiful sight to see, like the walls just absolutely covered in them. It was definitely a little journey.
I actually have one of the prints. When I first started working for Niche, very gracefully donated some prints. I have two of them in my home. I have one of Grace Jones, which is just the most beautiful picture of her outside the door of Studio 54. Yeah, and it is so just, it's everything.
Yeah, it oozes style. It doesn't even look real.
No, it truly looks like someone's imagination. It's fantastic. Yeah. Great. And then Priscilla performed. And one of the things that I love about Priscilla is that she's a resourceful queen.
She
will make things happen. And she performed Warm Leatherette, which she then carried into her into her show.
That was definitely a pattern in all the, whatever number that Priscilla worked on for every number. Like, it was something that developed into an act. So like, I was super happy for that, to see, obviously, the wonderful Gospels of Grace Jones too.
Yeah.
Continue to other people, you know, any number that she's done, she's worked into her own show as well. So no, that's great.
And this would be a great time for you to go on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you get your music and download Warm Leatherette. Any Grace Jones tracks that you can.
A good starting place, if you don't know Grace Jones, is it was a compilation album called Island Life.
Oh, so, yeah.
And that's absolutely got all the heavy hitters on there. But she was a real big pioneer in the 80s. There was a trilogy album that she did in the 80s where the sound was just completely different. She did a 3 disco albums, and then she did like 3 very alternative 80s Jamaican off the wall. But no, if you don't know, then
I remember so clearly. I mean, I say so clearly, and then I'm going to ask you what it was. But I remember one time we were having a movie night at my house, and then you said everybody who was there should show what you think is the best music video of all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I did one from a Mexican singer.
Did I do a Grace Jones one?
Yes.
Was it strange I've seen that face before?
Yes. Oh my God. And if you haven't seen that music video, please do yourself a favor and go watch it, because it was life changing.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember all of these things. Honestly, like, it's so wonderful as someone who got to experience Niche and then become a part of it, how it's peppered into my life and how songs that I've performed at Niche have sort of like, again, become part of my own act, but also part of my everyday life.
Yeah.
You've been such a instrumental part of like my music education, which is weird considering I went to school for music, but let's ignore that bit. And I think you do that for everybody. I think every subject, every Niche artifact, it has just developed into this thing where like just becomes part of people's lives, which I think is really amazing.
Oh, don't know what to say to that.
Well, but just take the compliment. I know you love those, so.
Well, I can't believe that you remember that music video. Honestly, yeah, it was like a Parisian masterpiece, like otherworldly. But that was actually a jump off point for like the logo design for Niche. That was definitely the...
Please excuse the fly. And if that bothers you, you can just listen to that sound rather than...
Niche artifact, fly swatters coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Merch,
oh
baby.
My God. And I just put the swatter down. So... That's the first Niche artifact. You said 4 art pieces.
Yeah, there was 4 art pieces. We'll in the video, we'll chuck some of them on here. No, there was a Lego portrait. There was a black and white chalk.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was chalk or pastel or no, graphite pencil. I got there in the end. And then there was...
Was it Darren?
No, Darren wasn't part of that at that point. So unfortunately, it's a wonderful artist called Zach, but he's only had... he was only there for the first one.
Right.
So shout out to Zach if you're listening to this. You're an amazing artist. We can't wait to have you back for the next
one. Yes, come back.
And then there was Chelsea, which was actually the piece that sold. The first piece that sold was Chelsea's piece. She did a gold crystal piece, a cover of Bulletproof Heart.
Oh my God. Can you talk a little bit about Chelsea's art? Because her art is so unique.
Yeah, Chelsea Marie, she's... I'm so grateful that she was there from the beginning, because her art style, I always say to people, like, if you can look at any painting and you can say, that's a Chelsea Marie, and you know, just by looking at the style. But she uses like mica powders and crystals and resin. And yeah, her stuff is pretty sensational.
Yeah, pretty unique.
And it was the first one that sold. As soon as we unveiled it, I might be mistaken, but I think it sold between £300 and £400. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, so, and I was very jealous because I wanted to bid on it, but then somebody else did. I was like, no, I can't match that. But no, that was such a success for her. And then Zoe Ellis, so she did a fantastic piece, which is actually still one of my favorite pieces ever, a really cool graphic design piece. But yeah, we'll work them on video.
Yeah. So that was the first niche.
Mm-hmm.
So four pieces, loads of prints, one performance?
Yeah, it was just, yeah, Priscilla Sherlock-Krakow, she was performing.
Fantastic. So... Yeah. Let's fast forward to literally a month ago.
Mm.
We're filming this in August. I don't know when this is going to come out, but we're filming in August. So literally last month was the sixth niche artifact.
Yes. So we're coming up to number seven.
Number seven. Great. Would you like to walk us through the differences between the first one and the last one? And so we can actually talk about the growth. Obviously, we'll go chronologically.
Yeah.
But... Like, let's do that lovely jump.
Yeah, so the first one was very, very small in scale. Like, obviously, we've got a much higher capacity venue now compared to how it started. But I think it was something very new, and it took a while for people to get turned on about it.
Absolutely.
And I think we're still switching people on about it today. Yeah. Like,
if you haven't gone to a niche event, check Gigantic, get a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. The consistent feedback is that it's something different.
Yeah. And something needed.
Yes.
Yeah. That's always been the feedback.
Yeah.
It's not just something different, it's something that's needed.
Yeah. There's not been a niche artifact where somebody who's never been to one before comes up to me and says, I can't believe what you're doing for people.
Yeah.
And like it's just the most heartwarming thing, definitely.
So I'll walk you through what was the most recent niche artifact without giving the title away.
Give it away, baby.
Well, it was the birth of Pride. So it we actually held that niche at our newest venue, which is Nottingham Central Library in Broadmarsh. So we went from a bar that housed how many people?
I want to say 93 probably was
93, the capacity. Great. Yeah. So we went from a venue that would hold 93 people to a venue that holds at least 150, I want to say, if not more.
I think it's 200.
200. But, there we go.
Yeah, so 200 for public, and then we've got extra in there for artists and people that work there. So, yeah, we're at a cap of 200 at the library.
Great. So, over 100% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still the Prosecco reception.
Mm-hmm.
It was still the art unveiling.
Yeah.
But this also came with what I think ended up being a 45-minute show in between art unveilings.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went from being just one performer... So still having that one magnificent performer, Priscilla, and you've added an aerialist burlesque artist, who's also a vocalist. Shout out to Milady Burlesque.
Yeah.
She is
insanely talented. Yeah. We're so lucky to even have her believing in us and following us. So she is truly part of the family.
Which I let's add something here. Milady posted this video or this image on her socials, where she was talking about how she's performed at the Royal Opera House, she has performed on the West End, she has performed on some of the biggest stages in the world. And being a part of niche is the thing that she's the most proud of.
Yeah.
Which I think speaks volumes to what you do.
Yeah.
And what niche does.
From someone that's had a walk of life that other people would dream of.
Absolutely. So then, and then you had two vocalists, myself and Serena.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a huge show. It was a huge success. How many pieces were at Birth of Pride?
Oh God, I don't think I've even counted. There were a lot. There must have been
at least 20.
At least 20. Yes, because it got to the point where I was like, "Shit, I need another easel." Like
now,
yeah, immediately. So
immediately,
yeah, no, definitely. There was that was probably the biggest turnout ever. Yeah, that was serious.
It was so special, and it's one of those things that like it's going to happen once and then never again, but then it happens every 2 months, which is amazing.
But each niche is that. It's like something unique that you will never experience again, even at the next one. It'll be something completely different. The vibe will be completely different. I mean, like, if you look at the subjects that we've covered, it's wild.
Why don't we go through them? Okay. So we had the Grace Jones exhibit.
Yeah, Grace Jones exhibit. And then we had...
Stage Exit,
the Golden Age of Hollywood.
That was my first niche artifact performing.
Yes.
And attending.
Yeah, that was definitely a vibe. Mm-hmm. And well, let's just go through them. So,
Gods and Monsters, which was amazing. We didn't just go, you know, the very trad Greek mythology. We had the fantastic Ray Piper did some Chinese ink on rice paper, which is punishing to say the least.
So
that was Gods and Monsters. Then we did
Erotica,
which was truly a moment in time.
That was one of the first niches where we were turning people away.
We
were at capacity, and I think we probably turned up to 40 people away. And everybody dressed up for it. And
also, just to put things into perspective, this event used to happen on a Wednesday.
Mm.
Imagine having to turn 40 people away on a Wednesday, not during a holiday, not during summer holidays, nothing of the sort.
Yeah, because I was limited to what days I was able to do the events, but, you know, even if it was a Wednesday, I was passionate enough and I believed in it. And look where we are now.
So, yeah, we did Erotica. Then it was Princess Diana.
Yes.
The Princess Diana exhibit, which was so touching and so, I think, some of the most, like, unique art came from it. I mean, I could say that with every niche, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Princess Diana was very special.
I think going from, like, Erotica to Princess Diana, which we obviously we did on purpose, because with every niche show, like, I never wanted to just replicate the same thing that happened before, because it just defeats the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, definitely. Yeah. Like, Diana was very... A lot of people were quite touched.
Yes, definitely.
It was a whole different vibe, like, completely different.
I was going to say, it's probably the niche with the most tears, but no, I think that was Birth of Pride.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think they're probably on par.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birth of Pride. And then, yeah, after Princess Diana, we moved to the Central Library.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we've done Birth of Pride. And then coming September 20th, mark it in your calendars, get a ticket. We have 20th of September, Dystopia.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Unless you're watching this in the future.
Unless you're watching this in the future,
welcome.
And then you missed it. Welcome.
Welcome, time traveler.
Yes. How are things going? Are things better? Please tell me they're better. All right, so one of your missions as the creator of Niche Artifact, as the artistic director of Niche Artifact, as the linchpin of Niche Artifact.
I'll take it.
Yeah. You have talked privately, but also publicly, so much about the want to give everyone a platform in which they can succeed.
Yeah, definitely. It goes back to what I was saying about creating something that I would have liked to have been to or been a part of, like... creating a platform for local artists to succeed, and that success can be anything. It could be like being able to actually talk on a microphone, or being able to believe that my art piece is actually good enough for somebody else to actually look at it and buy it, you know. And there's been some great success stories of like art selling, and some of the guys are just like flabbergasted and they can't believe it when it happens.
Well, am I all right in saying that at least 80% of the artists that Niche houses had never had a piece in a gallery before?
No, definitely not. No, never.
So you're already giving someone a huge platform to exhibit their art. And then one of the things that happens every Niche and yet still surprises some of the artists, Robin invites them to give a few words on their piece.
Yeah.
And
some people have started with zero confidence to the point of terror.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm running around like a blue-ass fly when I'm doing Niche. And I'm just like, here's the microphone, talk about your piece. And obviously, I've not told them beforehand because I'm just like running around doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of them are like, oh, you didn't actually say that. I was going to talk about my piece, but I'm like, oh, it's too late now. Here's the microphone. And, you know, that's really helped a lot of people get comfortable with, having an identity and taking up space.
Yeah. And something that has also happened to a lot of the artists at Niche is that even if their pieces don't sell initially, there will be someone who contacts you a month later, 2 months later, and be like, do you still have that? But also, a lot of people have gotten commissions to do original artwork after Niche.
Yeah, that's true. So people have got contacts from going to Niche. That's definitely true. Yeah.
Great. I think being part of the art scene... I can speak from experience that it's not always people who have a space are not always super willing to open it up to other people because probably they fought really hard for their space and they don't feel like they can open it up. But I think the doors you have opened for people are great. And I hope, how does that feel?
Well, it feels amazing. But I know what you mean. When you're walking past some of these galleries and stuff, it just feels really intimidating and doesn't feel... I don't know. I guess that's where the community aspect really shines. It's like you know, I give everyone the opportunity and the platform to sell their art, but that's not why we do it.
No.
Like, I just like to have all my bases covered and give everyone as much opportunity as possible. But yeah, it's just really about showing up for yourself, coming together as a community, and like the people that are just like, when they're together in the room and they're supporting each other, and they're just like, it's beautiful. Like the vulnerability,
yeah,
and the respect that everybody gives each other.
It's amazing. And I can say, from maybe not a gallery aspect, but from a performing art part of it, it now has become so much about how many followers you have, how much of a digital footprint do you have, who you know, what you know, blah, blah, blah. And the fact that you have also opened the space to not just be about the plastic art, the paintings, but like, we've had poets mm-hmm. coming and read poems oh, yeah. as well.
And so the poets have actually been probably some of the most successful yes. of all of them.
Yeah, know. We had...
It's been wild.
Oh, Forgotten Monsters. We had Charlie Don Sadler, who is a Nottingham-based writer and poet, who wrote this insanely touching poem, Forgotten Monsters. And I just remember seeing grown men cry in the audience as she was reciting the poem. That was quite impactful.
Yeah.
And then again, I don't know if that's an opportunity that would have been given to anybody else. So, yeah.
Yeah, we welcome every medium, and, you know, we don't, you know, there's art to be found, in whether it's on the stage, whether it's on a canvas, whether it's on paper, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
It's the nature of art, you know.
You've created now this institution, basically,
mm-hmm.
this platform, this, but at the heart of it, Niche is just the most wonderful community I have ever been a part of, right? We have people from all walks of life.
Mm.
We have some international students
yeah.
that have made art piece.
Yeah.
We have
a community that keeps showing up for each other.
And, yes.
And the beauty of having, like, you've got a big bank of, like, say, 25 artists or so, you know, not every Niche artifact theme might tickle their fancy, or but they'll, even if they're not doing it, they'll still come support the show, or you know, still share it. So we're definitely everyone. It feels like everyone's in it together.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. And I have feel like I feel like I have seen a lot of people show up for other people in Niche artifact on other projects. Like, I've seen, we had a fantastic photographer, Alok,
yeah.
who
sensational.
Had an art exhibit of his photography, mm-hmm. and I saw a couple of people from Niche Artifact
yeah.
that went to support,
yeah, yeah.
which is really nice to see.
Yeah.
Charlie Don, the poet, runs an open mic poetry night. I've seen some Niche people going and supporting.
Yeah.
So, Milady Burlesque, when she does her solo shows, a lot of Niche people from the Niche community come and,
yeah, 100%.
Come and support, which is amazing. So, tell me about when you began Niche, but when Niche became this fantastic community, why did you feel like there was a need for a creative community?
I just thought it didn't really exist. You know, I was originally, well, when I started Niche, I was going to go down the angle of like doing workshops and like trying to foster and build, because I do oil paintings myself, and that's something that I enjoyed and learned about when lockdown happened during coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
And then, you know, I just thought, why not? I'd love to build a community where people can show up and be artistic, and, you know, it's not that emotional, it's not that serious. And even to this point, like, we're very serious about putting the shows together and everything,
mm-hmm.
but like the spirit of it is just like
play.
Yeah, just kind of like, I don't know, it sings by itself, doesn't
yeah.
it?
It's very much come as you are,
mm-hmm.
bring yourself. You don't have to put on a face, you don't have to put on.
No. You don't have to talk if you don't want to talk. You
no.
know, we've got, you know, we're very respectful, and it's like, you know,
yeah.
for instance, some people are quite shy and they have no desire to do public speaking about their art. You know, they'll get somebody else to do it, but, you know, it's never a problem. Like,
you've done some of them as well.
Yeah. We just want to be there for people and to whatever capacity they want to allow us to.
Absolutely. Right. So through the journey of Niche,
mm-hmm.
you know, from going from an art exhibit with lots of prints and four artists
yeah.
to now having over 25 artists in the community.
Yeah. Well,
which
for the last one, we didn't even have any prints because we had that much art.
Yeah.
I mean, it did start off with the photos, prints were like, what's the word?
They were part of the exhibit.
Yeah, they were like a supplement to it.
Supplement,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So obviously,
it added.
If you only, yeah, 100%. So, I mean, we were limited to how many artists we had because we just started, you know. So we had a lot of prints, but as the niches have gone on, the prints have been less and less, but that's because we can actually put more original art on the wall and we can get more people getting exposure.
I think one of my favorite things that I've seen through the journey of Niche is a lot of the artists that have done most of them, or even artists that have done one and then they took a break and then they did another one. There's a lot of artistic growth through that, and I think that's really beautiful. I remember you hosting an oil painting masterclass at the bar you used to manage once. And
yeah, we did like a workshop, definitely.
Yeah, and,
and that's something that we want to look into again. Like,
yeah, definitely.
That's definitely an aspect of Niche Artifact. Like, I'm looking into like my own details, whether I want to get a course in it or something, or do a workshop again. But no, that's always going to be an aspect of it.
Stay tuned.
That come and play attitude, or, you know.
I've just seen a lot of people's, a lot of the artists, a lot of their artistic vision and their, even their technique just sort of like go through this beautiful journey. Because I think, again, going through the variety of subjects, going from something like mythology to then go straight into erotica, and then that went into Diana, the way that the artists have truly like navigated all of those fields and arrived at stunning, beautiful masterpieces, it just feels really special.
Yeah, because it can't be easy, especially if you're like, you know, only into one sort of thing.
Yeah.
And like, if you only like doing like nature or flowers, and then you're like, how do I apply this to, you know, other things? So.
We have seen it with Emma.
Yeah.
Emma.
She sneaks in a rose wherever she can, but Emma's a sensational oil painter. She's wowed us from the beginning. But, you know, she's got her style and things that she likes, but she's managed to apply that to all these different themes. And there's like a handful of people that are so loyal to what we've been doing. And it's just like, every time it happens, I can't believe it, to be fair.
Right. And obviously, through this huge journey, you have gone from a one-man band to
a ragtag band.
Yes. So I kind of want to ask, with Niche being your baby, with Niche being this thing that you have carried and nurtured from inception to now, how has the journey of having more people to sound off on, to rely on, to ask for help, how has that been?
That's been fucking amazing. no, 100%. Everyone I speak to, you know, no matter what I do, where I'm working, or if I see any people from Niche Artifact, I'll speak to them. We'll bounce ideas off. Like, I literally have a notebook for everything now, because it's just like, it's so important to be able to have those conversations with people like yourself and, you know, David, Ro, Priscilla, and even just like everyday people that just come and look at the artwork. Like, the information you can get from them is valuable.
Yeah.
And every bit of feedback, you know, there's a drop of truth in everything that people say. So there's definitely, I feel blessed to be able to have people to bounce it off and to keep the momentum going, more importantly. I think that's important.
I think so too. I think you have, it's still very much your baby, but you have allowed all of us to babysit from time to time, which I think is really special. I don't think a lot of people, especially if something has this like drastic journey, like Niche, I don't think a lot of people are ready to like let go.
No, I've been happy to let everyone have their moment and everyone to have their shine. Like, it's, you know, it's, I'm well aware right from the beginning that this is only happening because of everyone involved. Like, if there's no artist, there's no Niche, you know. If there's no performers, it's not the same. You know, everyone has stuff to bring to the table. And that needs to be recognized, and that's important.
Yeah, and I want to throw that back to one of my favorite moments of Niche, for Gods and Monsters, actually. It's I had known you now for a couple of months when we did Gods and Monsters, and I already loved you, and I knew that you were it. But it was at this moment that I just realized how safe anybody can be around you and how looked after we can be by you, which I think is one of the things that makes you the fantastic person that you are. I'm just brown nosing rolling at this point. And he's just put his drink down. One of my favorite moments from Gods and Monsters, and hopefully we can play a little clip, and we can talk about it more when we talk about Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, we'll be going through all more details about all the shows. We've got a lot to catch up with, definitely.
Yeah, but one of my favorite moments was, so Chelsea Marie, who we've talked about, fantastic artist, she did two brilliant pieces for Golden Age of Hollywood for Stage Exit. And then for whatever reason, she wasn't able to have a piece finished for Gods and Monsters.
Yes.
And I remember the last piece that you exhibited that night, you removed the velvet curtain from it, and it was one of Chelsea's old paintings, and you said that Chelsea couldn't join us this time for whatever reason, and that she couldn't finish her piece, but that you still thought that it was important and needed to give her her flowers for doing it, for going through it.
Yeah, she's still done it, and we will see it, because also something that we forgot to mention earlier is that as the niches have gone on, you know, we still show the work from previous pieces.
Like, yes, previously.
We've had loads of shows where it's like, okay, well, here's the, you know, greatest hits collection of the last three, and then here's the new exhibit. Like, no, we very much, you know, it's not just you show it once and it's done. Like, we like to give all the art pieces still time to shine. And that Chelsea piece that went horribly wrong, she mixes like chemicals with her piece because of the resin, so she put the wrong ratio down and it ruined, but she did manage to save it, so we still need to see that. It will be showing again.
But again, I think that was one of the most impactful moments of Niche, where you, I feel like any other gallerist, I don't know why I did that, any other gallerist, any other person that's in charge of putting an exhibit together.
Yeah, they just wouldn't bother.
You wouldn't have bothered to mention her.
Exactly.
Someone else wouldn't have bothered to say, oh, by the way, this person was meant to do something. But that's not even how you said it. It was just so beautiful and it was so touching. And I remember just like having a single tear moment and going like, this person is in. I'm safe with this person. And I think that's very special. I think that's very important for everybody, for any artist who has an interest in, you know, being a part of Niche Artifact. It's very important to know that this is not just your weird scheme to like collect art and have galleries put in places. No,
the community will always come first, because without the community, it's just an empty gallery.
Absolutely. You
know? So definitely, and that even,
which a lot of galleries are just empty galleries.
Well, when they're selling prints in the windows for like 25 grand and it's not even an original piece, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm not at that point in my life yet, but
listen,
rich.
But reflecting on what you said about unveiling the piece that wasn't done and still acknowledging it, like that's the same for like some pieces that I haven't had time to finish, which I'm very guilty of.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not
finished. Oh yeah, because of course you had all the time to paint when you were putting together an art exhibit and going to the printers and talking to the performers and rehearsing. And yeah, of course, Robin, yeah, you're so guilty of that.
Well, you know, even if it wasn't finished, like, you know, I think it's important to, for showing up, it should be acknowledged, you know, it's not the mentality of that everyone is surprised, but it's just like, I don't know, it's the human thing in our community. It's like, there's such a bad rap with artists and art in itself. And, you know, there's, you know, some fantastic authors out there. And there's one of them, what was her name? I can't remember her name. But she was saying that, you know, artists at the turn of the, I think it's 20th century, where humanity put like the ego at the start, and it all became about that person rather than the person's work. And you know, it's the pressure that has been put on artists that have turned them into like the stereotype of, you know, moody, suicidal people who their work destroys them. You know,
and then we capitalize on that, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, you know, like it doesn't have to be that way. And you know, we are moving in the right direction, but artists definitely still carry the stigma of like, I'm not good enough, or you know, we've had some amazing pieces in which I can't even believe that we've had these pieces in Niche Artifact, and it's just like from people that just have no belief in what they do at all, and it's, you know, it's beautiful to see that change.
It's beautiful to see that, and I think Niche has given them that belief for sure.
Yeah, I'm happy it's done that.
Yeah,
I'm very happy.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for our first ever episode of the Niche Artifact Podcast. Please remember to subscribe on Spotify Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, ring the notification, and put us a comment. What was your favorite part of the episode? What do you want to see next?
Yeah, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. And what can our listeners and our viewers expect from the podcast going forward?
So we're going to be looking into doing interviews with some of our local artists that we work with. We're going to be doing a deep dive on the last slot. It will be 7 Niche Artifacts, so we've got plenty to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's like all sorts coming up, so we're very excited to see
Great.
I mean, the new Shard 5 journey is taking off right now, and yeah. I couldn't be more proud and more happy. And who knows, you know, where we're going to end up.
And also to remind everybody that the Niche Artifact, the first ever Niche Artifact Jamboree, is happening on the 30th of August at
Revolution de Cuba.
Revolution de Cuba.
So it's free entry. So the Jamboree will be local artists, like no pressure networking kind of event where all creatives can get together, mingle, talk to each other. You know, we'll have a DJ.
We have a guest speaker
for each one as well. So we've got the next one booked in October, but yeah, we'll talk about that one closer to the time.
Yeah, fabulous.
We're Niche is branching out in ways that I never thought was possible, but we're making things happen.
And depending on when this comes out, if you still have time to get your tickets for Dystopia on the 20th of September at Nottingham Central Library, we will leave a link to purchase the ticket in the description below.
Or just visit nicheartsfact.co.uk and everything will be on there. We do have a latest news section that's always updated on the blog. Thank you.